Thank you. Turn your Bibles to Psalm and 2 Chronicles chapter 20. That's two places that will be there for just a little while. Remember the announcements. I've got a lot of, not a lot, but I've got some things that were left over from the Freedom Rally that we want to share with you. Mark, our Gidley, our dear friend and high school buddy and representative in the state of Alabama, called me last week. And he said, here's what he said about that Freedom Rally. He said it was, here's the words he used, a monumental event. And I found it to be so. It's part of the history of Welcome Baptist Church right now. Some people agree with what we did. Some people don't. Some people supported it. Some people didn't. And that's the way it is. That's just the way it is. And the Lord blessed us anyway. Both days here, we had around 700 all together. There was more people here Sunday than there was Saturday. And he said it was a monumental event. And I believe it was also. But I have some things left over, some things that were given to us to give out, and some pamphlets and things and memorandums that you might want to keep. The little paper we handed out with the songs on it, the program, if you want to call it the program paper. I've got several of them. You might want to keep one of them, and we'll give them to you a little later on, give you opportunity to keep them. And but thank you for your participation in that. And just right after that, we went right into the relief effort. And Clifton and Brother Gene, Brother Clifton with us, and Terry went with us, and Ron Plott went with us, and we had a great time of fellowship. Is that Jim fellowship? Good. What, Gene, was it okay? What about you, Clifton? Yeah. Good. It made some new friends, and I don't see nothing wrong with us being ready in the future if something happens somewhere, that we do our best to try to help again. And amen, be ready to help. But thank you for all you've done. And remind me, well, that stuff's in my study. I mean, there's boxes in my study and things. I'm not going to just throw stuff away, but we'll probably throw some things away, but some things you need to have. Now we're going to read just a minute in Psalm. I don't know, just sort of breaking the ice here. I don't know how, if Kathy don't go with me to Mexico, I'm in trouble every time. I have to fend for myself. I first of all get a big box of cereal and some milk and some tea and a hot pot where I can make tea. And if you think tea is not manly, I'll meet you anytime you want to meet you, and we'll talk about that. So I have to open that box and find a bowl, spoon. I just told I don't know how I'm going to be able to make this. You know, from the Freedom Rally, we had some of those bottles of barbecue sauce. You know, them little bottles that we bought. We poured Sweet Baby Ray in there. And we had some of the leftover meat. And a while back, Kathy's not home, so there I am. I'm just having to work, trying to figure out what to eat. She had told me there's some of that meat and food there, and so I got me some, and I grabbed one of them bottles. I'm telling you, I said, something's wrong with this pool. I forced myself to eat. And then I said, I'm going to try another one. So I made me another sandwich, and I poured it on and tasted the same. So I went in there, and I got me some bottle of regular Sweet Baby Ray, and I ate it, and I made it taller. And later on, I told Ben, I said, Ben, I think that meat's deadly. And so he said, no, that's it. Mama put the Sweet Baby Ray. You know what it was? Some of her chocolate syrup that's non-sugar. If you want to If you want to defile a barbecue sandwich, you put unsweetened, it's supposed to be sweet, syrup on a barbecue sandwich. You'll never forget it. I left there and went back to work and I said, I ain't eating no more pork in the rest of my life. So just because you see the bottle, you don't know what's in it, right? You can, and it's like a book. It's because it's a book. You don't know what you've got to be exposing yourself to. So this idea about, I hear a terminology that's being used today that's called conservative Christian. Conservative Christian, Christian conservative. I've heard about this stuff about Christian nationalism, and I don't see nothing wrong with that, to be honest with you. You can just call me a Christian nationalist if you want to and a patriot. That ain't going to hurt my feelings. That's really going to compliment myself. It's going to be a compliment for me. But a Christian conservative, and I'm going to ask you this, and Father, help us. I need help right now. Lord, to deliver this message. I thank you for Brother Jerry being here, so kind. And if I had pushed him a little further, he would have preached. But he wanted me to preach, and I pray you'll help me preach in Jesus' name. And thank you, Jerry. Thank you for being easy on me. Really, thank you, Jerry. I'm preaching. The hardest people you'll preach to is preachers. We got two here. And y'all just... It could be you up here preaching. I could be down there. You'd be wanting me to pray for you, right? All right. I'm in the place. I'm where I'm supposed to be. So what is a conservative? And this is just preliminary thoughts and message. But a conservative, what's a conservationist? It's somebody who wants to protect the environment, protect our world. And to a degree, I mean, I'm for that. I'm not for going out here hugging a tree, but I'm for taking care of the land. Well, that's a conservative. So in a religious world, a conservative is holding true to the foundational doctrines of the Word of God and the Christian faith. That's conservative. So they're conserving, and they're contending for the faith. And so that's a Christian doing that. So what do you call yourself if you're not a Christian conservative? You know what you are? A non-Christian. You're not a Christian if you're not a conservative. You may be saved, you may know God, but you're definitely not a Christian unless you're a conservative. Jesus was a conservative. Yes, he was. Now listen, I'm going to say just, I'll get to this psalm maybe, but here's the thing. Let me tell you, there's a great fear in the United States of America in churches today. And that's the fear of intruding on sacred government ground with the Word of God and with our lifestyle and challenging a wicked form of government that's in our land. And the fear that's out there, of which I am no part of that fear, of becoming tax exempt from preaching the Word of God and the message that God gives a preacher. And you know what? Jesus, my friend, paid tax. And you'll say, oh man, if we lose our tax exemption, I won't be able to write off my charitable contribution. Well, if that's the only reason you're giving that money, I'm going to tell you, friend, we don't need your money. We can make it without money if we had to. But I'm not going to stand up and try to compromise what God's... And when I was a young preacher, right down the road here in that little blockhouse in my bedroom, I said, Lord, you call me to preach and help me not to compromise. And help me not to hesitate to preach. And help me not to apologize for what I have preached. Those three things have stayed with me. And if I lose my tax exemption, or, you know, the government knows if they could tax religion, we probably wouldn't even have a deficit right now. You understand that? So they're wanting it. And preachers like me are giving them opportunity to pursue it. And we just got to, not bragging on me, but I'm going to tell you what, I'm not going to compromise the message for the sake of the fear of the government. Jesus, the apostles stood and they said, whether it be right in the sight of men, we're going to preach, we're going to stand and preach the things that God gives us to preach. And I'm paraphrasing that a little bit. And I'm not trying to be a hard to get along, a hothead or nothing like that. I'm just telling you, the time is, if preachers are ever going to preach, they're going to have to preach from a conservative aspect or don't even preach at all. Now, there you go. I got that out. Psalm 33. And one of the things, too, that really are jeopardizing us and causing us to lose our edge with God is we're afraid of what not only government might do, but we're internally afraid in our congregations of what people might think if we really just come clean with God and say, God, I'm going to worship, I'm going to praise you, I don't care what anybody thinks. And the verse is 33, rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise is comely for the upright. That word comely is a wonderful, wonderful word. I looked it up. I've been studying that word comely. It's the word nave. Comely is in the Hebrew language. It means praise is suitable. Praise is beautiful. Praise is becoming. Praise is seemly. Praise gives the idea of pleasantness. It gives the idea of being suitable, beautiful, becoming. And the idea is the idea of a man working through the day and coming to his home and going into a home place and being at ease in his home place and being able to take rest in his home place, his home. And a man ought to be able to enjoy his home. Out in the world, there might not be much you can enjoy. But when you come to your home, my friends, you ought to be able to enter that door and come in and see a beautiful place and be in a presentable place, a seemingly place. You ought to be in a suitable place. You ought to be in a comely place. That's the word. And it ought to be a place to where you can relax and have some peace of mind. And I want you to understand, that's what praise is all about. That's why he said praise is comely. If people will praise God, if you will determine you're going to praise God, come what may, I want you to understand, in the sense of whatever's on the outside of you, it does not matter. But on the inside, there's going to be a place that's seemingly and beautiful and comely and residential and restful. And my friends, praise is the answer to whatever you have coming your way. Praise God. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus that concerneth you. It don't matter what comes your way. You need to be able to say, I'm going to praise God. But what we do is just bow down, hunker down, and crawl in a hole somewhere. And don't even share God with nobody. And lose our testimony. And lose our praise. You lose your praise. God is looking for you. You're no good for nothing. If you can't praise God to believe, and you've got great reason to praise, I'm just going to say this. I'm on page 3 and ain't even got on page 1 yet. Let me just go ahead. We used to play ball. I was a good ball player. I probably could have made it to the major leagues. Ain't that right, Derek? Derek, have you done forgot? Have you done forgot those days? Huh? What? You remember what a good ball player I was. You ever seen a pitcher? You see that pitcher? I pitched a little bit. Softball's one thing, but baseball's another. I played baseball about 8 years before I ever met you, Dad. That's softball, sort of a kid's game. Soft. It's got the word soft in it. Soft ball. Hard balls, what men play. Women play softball. I done heard a bunch of feelings that. That one was a strike, it was a fastball, four was a slider, three, four was a nuts ball, or whatever it was. What's on the base, this random, anybody's on base, that catcher's getting up, and that catcher wants to go ahead and throw the ball. He just makes up his mind when he wants to throw the ball, that's his decision. And you know, some they do it differently, they go, You know what praise means? Listen to this. Praise. Yod. Yadah. In the Hebrew language, Y-A-D, Yod. It means the hand. And here's what praise means. Here's what it meant to the Hebrews. Praise means to... It means to throw... the hand. There's not a one of you that go to ball games that don't ever do like that. There's nothing wrong with going to a ball game. That's okay, but it's not your God. But there's something wrong if you can't throw your hand to God and say, praise God. I saw little kids in meetings before. I saw little children doing like that. You know what they were doing? They were mocking their daddies that was doing. Praise God. Catch a big fish. I've done that. You ever notice that nobody ever talks about a little one getting away? It's always a big one. Man, that was a little one and it got away. Praise the Lord for the fish fry, man. Be a real problem trying to have a fish fry with no fish. Hey, you know, one of these days, what I was thinking about doing is just buying a bunch of steaks. Anybody want to do that? Okay, me and you, I've got three buying right now. You thought I meant just have a steak fry. I thought about killing that old calf on my ears. His ears got ate off Just killing him because they said he wouldn't be worth nothing, but he was worth $1,500 after I sold him. So I said, ears or no ears, I ain't eating him. I'm selling him. To use the hand to rever or worship. There's many reasons. You can just think of them that you want to praise God. Many, many reasons. And then there's times where you can look around, it's hard to find a reason. But you're going to heaven, right? That's it. Have you ever seen Brother Allen do that? Praise them. Them old boys up there at in Fellowship Baptist Church, Aaron and Dalton, the pastor, where we slept, remember? I asked them. I said, Terry, how'd you sleep? Said, not too good. I asked Gene and Clifton, and they slept in there. And I told y'all that there's two recliners. And they said we played musical chairs all night. No, that was, who was that? That was Terry and Clifton. And Clifton said, I'd wake up, Terry'd be on the floor. And then I'd wake up again, I'd be on the floor, and he'd be in one of them chairs. But them old boys, they knew Brother Allen. They growed up as kids around him, and they could mock him. A lot of people sort of mock in a good way, Brother Allen. You know that. But that's graceful. He wasn't doing that just to be seen. He was praising God. What's wrong with that? I grew up at Damascus Baptist Church down in South Gibson. I'm not trying to get you to get emotional. I wouldn't never. I don't want you to get emotional. I want you to get spiritual. There's a big difference. Down there, Miss Emery, some of them others, I remember Brother Meadows would preach or some of the others, and them old ladies, I mean, the closer you get to heaven, the more excited you ought to be able to be getting, right? They'll say, I'm about to go to heaven. Help me. And them old ladies there, 80 and 90 years old, praise the Lord. You don't see much of that anymore. You know why? It's sort of like this. You have to offer a sacrifice of praise. In Hebrews 13, you can read it later, to offer a sacrifice of praise. And when you sacrifice something, that means you give something. You deny something that maybe is of value to you, and you deny that, and you say, I'm going to give this as a sacrifice of praise. And you know, the very first thing that comes into my mind that you have to sacrifice when you say, I'm going to praise God, it's your pride. What is people going to think about me if I say, praise the Lord? What is anybody going to think about me if I throw the Lord a fastball? I don't care, do you? Hey, you can ask my boys. Two of them are here right now. You can ask them. I'll be out there working on that old 200 International tractor, trying to get it to run. I'll tell you one time, Seth don't remember, but I bet you Ben does. I had a ball peen hammer, and I had a three-point conversion hitch on the back of that two-point tractor. And you ladies have no idea what that means unless you're 100 years old like me. You don't even know what it means, man. But you know what a ball peen hammer is? It's about that big around. And I had that steel. I was using it for an anvil, and I was hitting something. And I hit the wrong something. And I run about three laps around the barn with my thumb in my mouth. My boys, you remember that, don't you, Ben? I guarantee you do. I wasn't praising God. But there's times I try to get that tractor cranked. I try and try and try and try. And them boys will see me take my head off. If I take my head off, I'm about to pray. I said, Lord, I can't contract it. I cannot crank this tractor. But you can. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You Ben will testify to that fact. He's probably Seth saw it too. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for cranking this tractor. I don't believe a word of that. Well, you can just not believe. I don't care. You need to find something you can believe in if you can't believe that. Find something in your life. That's it, a sacrifice of praise. You got to sort of humble yourself. And I want to get as far along as I can here. I got something here. I met a man. He's a first responder. He was a law officer. He's a law officer up in North Carolina. That last Wednesday I was there when I went by myself. You missed it, boys. I know you had to get home, but these lawmen brought in a trailer, a panel trailer full of food. There's barbecue experts. And you know how they work? I know because they told me they did. If they brought Castlewood, that's why. So what's that called? Has anybody ever heard of Speedy Shepherd? I hadn't. I don't wreck. Speedy Shepherd was a famous fiddle player. I got the instrument right. Didn't write down, but I know it was a fiddle. Look. It was fiddle. Finest. He's genuine, it's a plumber, but not Steve, he's a gift. Moose, look. And they were at a plumber, oh, they were at a plumber supply house. And they were in there talking, and he was just a young guy, just like a teenager, but still already old enough to work with his daddy. And they were talking about fiddles, and Jeff said, I sure would love to play a fiddle to know how. And he didn't know who was in that supply house listening to him. But it was Speedy Shepherd. And Speedy talked to him and introduced himself and invited him to come over to see his house sometime to meet him. That's all he told him. And Jeff went over there because it had to do with fiddles. And he said he took me down in his shop and he made fiddles. It took him about 3 months to make a fiddle. He not only made fiddles, he played fiddles for the kings in England and the queens and for the presidents. Speedy Shepherd. And the boy, Jeff, said, I'd like to learn how to play a fiddle. He said, okay, I'm going to ask you something. He said, something I want you to do for me. He said, I want you to hum, Mary Had a Little Lamb. What? My roommates at Temple, when I was up there at Tennessee Temple, our doors had real heavy locks on them. And the door was solid door this thick. Security doors on those dormitories. And we would lock ourselves out a lot of times without our key. And this happened to me, Steve Donaldson's been to this church before. I bought a 1980 model. I bought a Buick Skylark from him. It's a great car. I wish I'd never sold it. But he was in the side yard. That's it. But he had flashbacks. I put him in late and got to work, but he comes back with bumped me and chained up me and just got killed. He was having a flashback. And I screamed in his face and he woke up. And he was fixing to kill me. But so me and old Steve was locked out one day, okay? And locked. He did it again. He said, that's okay, stand back. He is no taller than me, muscle man. He had a bald spot back here. And he was real interested in getting a girlfriend. And he tried to keep his hair covered, that bald spot. And he would come in from work. They went up there and they did cars at the Tivoli. They did chalet cars. I work all day, make a little money. They go down there and park these stars at Chattanooga Choo Choo and make $100 to $150 a night. So anyway, he'd come in, he'd be sweaty, he'd grab the right guard. Does anybody know what right guard is? Not time to take a bath, he'd spray himself down with right guard. Go to eat supper. We'd be standing there. There'd be girls and boys everywhere. There was about 4 girls to 1 there, Cassie. 1 boy, 3 to 4. And I found you, all them girls, I found you down in Gallup. Yeah, that ought to make you feel good. So Steve Donaldson said, Roger, look, if you see my bald spot, he said, just come by and say, BS. So I'd check it. I went by Steve. He's talking to them girls. I'd say, BS, it go. Oh, Steve said, stand back. He jumped up. Ooh. He kicked that door right beside the doorknob. Nothing happened. I said, this is a joke. Boom, bam. Door rattled, nothing. Third time. Bam! And that door opened like a lady would be opening it, just easing it open. It shook and opened. I said, I've got a famous roommate here. I sure do. One night, Steve, he pray for him. He come into my mind, but he humbled himself. Oh, Steve, I've seen him do it. He humbled himself. I seen God work in his life. And I'm thinking about Jeff Moose and Speedy Shepherd. And here's what Speedy asked Jeff. He didn't say, if you want to learn to play a fiddle, come, Mary Little had a little lamb. And Steve got me out there. I locked myself out. Steve was on the inside. I was on the outside. I said, let me in, Steve. Hey, see anybody in there? We had four roommates in about a 14 by 14 room, two sets of bunk beds. Hey, he said, hey, Roger, is that you? Yeah. Let me in, Steve. I ain't got my key. He said, Roger, is that you? I said, yes, it's me. Roger, is that you? Yeah. He said, I'll let you in if you'll sing Mary Had a Little Lamb. Loud. I don't remember if I did or not. I just don't remember, but he put the hurt on me. But Speedy asked Jeff, hum, little Mary had a little lamb. You know what Jeff wouldn't do? He would not hum. He didn't. He wouldn't hum. He said, okay, he thought it was a joke. You know what the rest of that means? If you can hum, Mary Had a Little Lamb, you have musical talent within you where you could learn to play a musical instrument. And he wouldn't do it. And later on, he found that was the man that played to kings and queens and presidents and made fiddles, could play fiddles, and could have taught me how to play a fiddle if I had just humbled myself. Not that being a plumber is an admirable thing. Just be without one for a while and see how much you need a plumber. But can you imagine carrying your fiddle that Speedy Shepherd made for you, and you could have played for kings, queens, presidents? You see how he limited himself? It's how we limit ourselves when we refuse to give praise to God, because we have to offer a sacrifice of praise. And we're ashamed of what people might think about us because we don't give God praise anymore. That's where we are in a lot of our churches today. It's so quiet, you could hear the church mouse run across the car. And then we get outside and we lift our voices up. We throw the world a hand. I'm going to tell you what, I have no need or no intentions to ever throw this world a hand. It's been my enemy, and it is my enemy. And I'll give praise to God. Let's stand. Thank you for your attention. What about it? You want to come down and just give God praise and thanks for what he's done in your life? You want to do that? Why don't you do it now? I want to praise his name. I want to lift my hand in praise to God and give him glory and honor for what he's done for me. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Give him praise. Father, have your way, Lord, with your word and your spirit in the hearts and lives of your people. Save those that may be unsaved. May we draw close to you and realize that praise is comely. It's the place that we call home. There's no home in this world, but there's praise in heaven right now. And it's about time we got started giving you praise in Jesus' name. You come on, if you need to be saved, why don't you come and trust Christ as your Savior? Trust the Lord.